we get right into the Word, I want to see what the Lord has for us today. We've already been blessed by His presence. And I know the Lord has done a work in here already today. But let's just let the Word minister to your heart, and then we'll see what God wants to do from there. My text is taken from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, one verse here, verse 25. Here's what it says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods," meaning He's to be honored and respected above all gods. The title of my message today is, "He's Still God." He's still God. Again, it says, the Lord is great and He's worthy to be praised. But did you know that does not just apply when things are good? Many times we're guilty of praising the Lord only when things are going our way. And too often we're quick to blame Him when things are going wrong. How bad is that? How sad is that? Yet He's worthy to be praised in the good times and in the bad. He really is worthy of our praise on the mountaintop and in the valley. We're to praise Him in the midst of the storm and in times of, guess what, peace. Sometimes we pray, and I know God answers those prayers the way that we like for Him to. Oh my gosh, and that's an exciting time. Other times we pray and God answers, but the answer is the opposite of what we would want. How many know sometimes His no ends up being the best thing for us? And I've come to tell you this morning that even in those times, He is still God. And He's still on the throne. When we see a post on Facebook that asks us to join together and pray for someone that's in the hospital, and God moves in a mighty way, and that person receives a miracle and is healed, how many know that's an awesome feeling? And it's easy to join together at that moment and praise the Lord. And then there are those times that we join together and we pray for that man or that woman who has been sick for many years and in and out of the hospital for months. And even with fervent prayer, they pass away. Well, does that mean that God did not hear our prayer? No. Did God let us down? No way. Is God any less worthy of our praise? Absolutely not. God is sovereign and He knows what is best, Brandon, for each of our lives. Even in a situation like that, He is still God. We are living, we know, in increasingly difficult days, especially for the born-again believer. Oppression, opposition, persecution is increasing throughout the world for God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians. But even though these things may be bad and we know they're getting worse, we can face the future, Sister North, with hope. But Pastor, how can we have hope? It's because no matter what we may face, nothing can change the fact that God is still going to be God. Amen. Troublesome times for God's people is nothing new. And one of the most well-known examples of God's people facing persecution is the story that we find in Daniel chapter 3. And it's of the three Hebrew children. And I'd like to look at that passage this morning and have us understand that no matter what God's children may face in the days to come, watch this now, He's still God. King Nebuchadnezzar erected a gold statue in Babylon. And he sent word to his subordinates to come to the dedication of this idol. So the princes, the Bible says the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and treasurers and counselors, and yes, they had sheriffs back then. And all the rulers of the provinces gathered together before this image of gold. And it was demanded then that when the music was playing, that all would bow and worship this 90-foot tall statue. The king also warned that any who refused to bow and worship the idol would be bound and cast into a furnace of fire. So Nebuchadnezzar, understand, was not the first ruler to set up a false idol, and he won't be the last. Sadly, in our present government, there is an attempt by many of our leaders to deny God. And it's been that way in previous administrations. There's secularism, humanism, Satanism, occultism. You'll find atheism. They're all prevalent in America today. And in our lifetime, we have witnessed our leaders attempting quite successfully to ban God from every area of society. They took prayer out of the schools. They took the Bible out of the schools. They banned the Ten Commandments from our courthouses. They endorsed immorality. They legalized the murder of babies in the womb. They've attempted and they've done. They've redefined marriage. And sadly, we have seen in almost every budget, every bill, every law that has been passed, the legislative, the judicial, and the executive branches of our government have made it clear that God is not welcome in our country. When you look at where we are as a divided country, it's apparent that if God does not intervene, we are headed still for some dark days in America. But I've got good news for you this morning. If you're truly born again, there is no need to fear the future. We are citizens of another country. And our king cannot be defeated, and our king cannot be dethroned. Nebuchadnezzar denied the one true God and instituted false worship. But this did not change the fact that God was still God. And regardless of what the future holds for America, you've got to understand and remember, God's still going to be God. And it's easy and justified to complain about the fact that the government denies God. But it's not just those in high places who deny God. Did you know that much of the world rejects Him? Daniel chapter 3 in verse 7 says it this way. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut and the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So we see the king here issued the decree, and the people bowed and worshiped that image of gold. And for many who were present, it was no issue at all for them to obey that command. The pagans, understand, they had no convictions. They simply did what they are told and with no fear of the consequences. Sadly, the majority of people in our day could care less that our culture is growing increasingly immoral. They do not care that Jesus is blasphemed and God is expelled from our society. They have no motivation to take a stand when our freedoms are taken away. And you've got to know they are being taken away. They are quick to call us bigots. They're quick to call us racist and judgmental when we take a stand for Christ. It's only their opinion that matters. They reject the gospel and they reject Christ. And as a result, they will mock and scorn and persecute those who follow Him. And this was the case of these three Hebrew children. Even though the majority of the people bowed and worshiped the idol, this did not change the fact that God was still God. And we can rest in that fact that even though the majority may reject him in the world today, this does not change the fact that God's still going to be God. And one day they're going to bow their knee before him. Every person will stand before God and give an account for their lives. And so in this vast multitude that worshiped that golden idol, there were only three who took a stand for God. Things are no different today, though there may be many who profess to follow Christ. There are very few who will take a stand. So even though the government may reject him and the world may at large may reject him, he's still God. And yes, even though his own followers may forsake him, he's still God. Nebuchadnezzar had gone to Jerusalem and had besieged it. He ordered his chief of staff to bring some of the young men of Judea's royal family, of Judah's royal family, and other noble families to his palace as captives. And four of these men, young men of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they were renamed with Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Though we know four of the men who were captured and enslaved, it seems that there were many others. And it is very possible that in this crowd of people worshiping this idol, that there were some who had previously professed to follow the true God. And if this was a case, then there were some present who compromised their beliefs. In our day, there are constant attacks on those who boldly declare Jesus as Lord. And there are many who profess to follow him who still remain silent. There are multitudes of people in churches as we speak this morning who refuse to take a stand for what is right. There are countless others then who have compromised and abandoned their beliefs and their convictions. I mentioned this a while back. I remember reading about a bill that came out of one state legislature, and it was given to the governor to sign, but he ended up vetoing that bill. It was a bill that would have shielded pastors from legal consequences when refusing to perform same-sex marriages. It also would have protected churches and faith-based organizations from having to hire church personnel or renting the church property in any instance where such acts would be contrary to their religious beliefs. In fact, it said that large corporations vowed that there would be severe financial consequences if this bill was passed. So the governor, a professing Christian, compromised. He gave into the fear created by these corporations, and he vetoed that bill. How sad of a situation. This is just one example then of many who are professing Christians have surrendered to political pressure and forsaken their God. Today, the church is not much different than the world. People claim one thing and do another. And when Christ is attacked, they sit back and they do nothing. Some will worship the Lord, listen, on Sunday, and they will amen the message, and then sadly worship themselves and their material goods and agree with the world on social media, on social issues, the rest of the week. Can I just be bold right now and love you enough to tell you it ain't gonna work that way with God? He doesn't take very kindly to that. You are either with Jesus or you're against him. There's no middle road. Would you say that? There's no middle road. You can't ride the fence when it comes to what God's word says is outright sin. Jesus said himself in Luke chapter 16 and verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other." So guess what? You have a choice to make. Are you going to take a stand for what's right, or will you end up bowing and compromising? And that's the choice that these three Hebrew children had to make. And their choice was not an easy one. Keep in mind, we know this story from here looking back. We know how things turned out. These young men had no idea what was coming their way, but they remained faithful in the face of intense persecution. And in the same way, listen, we can be assured that when we face persecution, no matter how that comes, we really can be faithful and courageous in that moment. And it's going to come. Verses 8 through 28 there in Daniel chapter 3 prove to us that even though troubles and adversity come to those who follow Jesus, you've got to remember, God is still going to be God. And after the proclamation was made that everyone was to bow, we find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow. And some of the people went to the king and they informed him of this. And so Nebuchadnezzar became furious. You can read that story here in chapter 3. And demanded that these three Hebrew children be brought before him. And he asked them if what he had heard was true. And then he gave them another opportunity to compromise and fall in line with the others. But he warned them that if they refused, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. These men respectfully addressed their king. They told him that they would never bow and worship the golden image. And furthermore, they proclaimed that their God, the only true God, had the power to deliver them from the furnace. Notice what they said. This is in verses 17 and 18. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now, did you catch what they said? They proclaimed that God had the power to deliver them. But even if he did not do that, they still would not bow. Now we have to see this. These men were not fair weather followers. They didn't just follow God when things were easy and going their way. They were willing to follow God, and even if it cost them their life. But what I want you to take away from this is the confidence that they had in their God. They knew that no matter the outcome, God was still going to be God. They had no knowledge of the future. They had not been promised that they would not suffer and die in the fire. They just trusted that God was sovereign. And they refused then to bow to another. And again, we know the outcome of the story. Through God's word, we are told that they indeed were cast into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar then commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. And it was so hot that the men who cast them into the furnace were consumed by the flames. Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire and he saw the men then were unharmed. Look at what verse 24 tells us. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. Look at verse 25. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like who? The Son of God. Jesus was right there with them. And we see where the men were released from the fire, and not a hair on their hair was singed. Their clothes were not burned, and they didn't even smell like smoke, the Bible says. The only thing that had burned up was the ropes that had them bound. Now, this is one of those stories in the Bible that is simply amazing. But can I tell you something this morning? If these men had died in the flames that day, it still would not change that God, the fact that God was still God. Understand with me, nothing can change that fact. You may be facing a time of uncertainty this morning. You may be in the midst of a fiery trial yourself, and something that you've never experienced before. You may encounter persecution from a direction that you never expected. Sometimes, guess what? We get it from our own families, don't we? Regardless of your circumstances, you understand today and be reminded that God is still going to be God. And yes, it's troubling to me, especially as a pastor, that in our day, we do have a generation of not so strong believers who desire to wade only ankle deep waters when it comes to serving God. Those who can praise God in the good times, but they will abandon Him and not even acknowledge Him when things are bad. In times of adversity, we often cling to a promise of God's Word and God's Word found over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Here's what it says. We know that all things work together. How? For good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But notice with me, it doesn't say all things work together the way we had planned. Nor does it say all things work together the way we would like. It says all things work together for good. Sometimes we may not know what that good is. But guess what? God always does. He always does. Remember, He is sovereign and He knows what is best for us as His children. And I think there are a few people in history who have suffered as much as a man found in the Bible by the name of Job. The Bible says Job lost his livestock, his property, his material goods, and worst of all, he lost his children. And it was in this time of great tragedy, Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now we know the enemy took them. The Lord allowed some things to happen there. God doesn't do bad things. Amen. Job realized that no matter how bad things got, God was still God. He did not blame God. He didn't get out there hollering at the sky, why did you do this to me? Why is this happening? No. He did not forsake God. He trusted that God was God. And we can have the same hope and assurance today in our own lives. Can you say amen? Amen. When the doctor gives you bad news, guess what? He's still God. When the bank account is empty, amen, He's still God. There's a bunch of amens on that one. When your children rebel and turn away from everything right and holy, guess what? He's still God. When your marriage is falling apart, He's still God. When you face unspeakable tragedies, He's still God. When we lose our loved ones, guess what? He's still God. And though we live then in a world of uncertainty, He's still God. He's going to continue to be God. There may be some here this morning going through some stuff, and you do have questions, and that's okay. Yet the devil lies and he tells you God doesn't care, or he wouldn't let you go through that. As I end, Galen, would you come on up? As I end, I want you to hear what Peter has recorded for us. This is over in 1 Peter 4 and 12. Here's what he said. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Everybody say, but rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. We don't thank Him for bad things, because He doesn't do bad things. We don't thank Him for the trials, but we thank Him that we can go through that. He promises to be with us as we go through them. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let's all stand together. I'd like for our minister team to come up here. God's going to show Himself strong here in just a moment. All right, now here's the Message Bible translation from 1 Peter. The same one, 1 Peter 4 and 12. Listen to what it says. It's so powerful. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Indeed, be glad. Everybody say, be glad. That you are in the very thick of what God experienced, or what Christ experienced. And then listen to this part. This is a spiritual refining, here we go, process. Everybody say, process. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. So if you don't find life difficult because you're doing what God said, take it in stride. Here we go. Trust Him. Everybody say, trust Him. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing, Brandon. Brother Tony, He knows what He's doing. And here's how it ends. And He's going to keep on doing it. Why? Because He's still God. He's still God. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to pray in just a minute. But if you've been struggling with some things coming your way that you didn't expect from that direction, I'm telling you, God, just know He's still God and He's going to work. He's already working on your behalf. But there's going to come a conclusion of some things in your life today. If you'd be honest enough and brave enough to come down here, we're not going to ask you to give details. Would you come and stand with these ministers today? Say, yes, I've been facing some things. It wasn't my fault, but I've been dealing with some stuff coming from a whole direction I didn't plan on. But I know I serve a big God, and I know He can help me through this. Anybody? Can anybody relate today? It might have been your fault. Guess what? We serve a forgiving God. He wants us to be honest with Him. He already knows. He already knows the beginning to the end. It's no secret. Whatever you're holding on to in that dark room, God already knows. But you know what? He's wanting you to confess it to Him. Shine your light. Let Him shine His light in that room. Some of you have got some rooms that you've kept dark for a long time. He's saying, if you'll open it up, let me come in. I'll shine the light on that situation. And I'll heal you from it. I'll heal you today. Would you let God do that? We don't have to know. God already knows. But He's waiting on you to make that choice. And that's the only way you're going to see freedom. You're not going to be able to fully do what God has called you to do till everything is in alignment. I didn't say perfect, but until you're in alignment with His Word and you're striving to do your best, that you're not holding any secrets, anything. Are you bold enough to come? Just stand up here. We're not going to embarrass you. It's just going to show you're human. In fact, we'll just do something. As they come, why don't we gather down here to the front as I close today. Come stand with them today. Hallelujah. If you have to leave, I understand. But I'm telling you, God is going to do. There's going to be freedom in the house today because you've been honest enough and bold enough to come today. Hallelujah. Sweet Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you're doing a work. You're doing a work in people's lives this morning. Lord, our hearts are open to receive everything that you've got. Shine your light on our hearts. Help us to deal with issues today. We're not promised tomorrow. We cannot do a thing about yesterday. But Lord, you've given us today to make things right. So Lord, I want my heart pure. Show me what I need to deal with. The issues in my life. I want it taken care of. I don't want to wait till judgment. I don't want to wait to have to stand before you for you to deal with it. So I thank you now. Touch the hearts of your people today. Touch the hearts of your people today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right where you're standing. Right where you're standing. You can make it right with the Lord right now. Let Him deal with it. Let Him deal with it. It may be something that happened in your life many, many years ago, and you have not dealt with it. It could be unforgiveness. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody said something. And lo and behold, listen, the Lord will show you. You ask Him, Lord, bring it, bring that memory to me. If I need something I need to deal with, He'll bring it up. Because guess what? We want it dealt with. That's the path to freedom. Letting Him take care of you. Giving it to Him. Saying I'm sorry if it's something we've done wrong. Something we've been carrying. That grudge. That bitterness. Lord, I didn't know I had that bitterness. I know I was hurt. They said this against me. They did this against my family. And I just can't seem to continue. It's bombarding my mind. Lord, I need you to help me today. Set me free. Help me to let this go. Some of you have been carrying a weight for a very long time. You've been dragging that ball behind you for a very long time. God's saying today, let it go. Let it go. Would you say that with me? Let it go. Drop that ball. Lord, break that thing in my life. Listen, that's the only way you're going to be victorious in every area. As true believers, as children of God, His Word says that we can walk in victory. We can be victorious in every area of our life. Do we not mess up? Do we not make sure we're going to mess up? But He's right there with His grace and His mercy for us. Let it go today. Let it be broken off of your life. declare freedom today. Not another day of guilt, not another day of bitterness and anger. Let it go today. He's ready to heal your finances. He's ready to give you wisdom from above. Lord, how do I get out of debt? Listen, we're coming close to the end time. We are in the last, we're the last generation. In fact, I believe we're in the last decade. I want to get out of debt. I want to be sure. I don't want anything binding me. I want to walk in total freedom in my life. I want God to work through me, do His will. I want His purpose and His will to be done in my life. He's been so merciful to me. The very things in my come to me this week. I was driving down the road. God, this person went home to be with You. That person, I heard, went home to be with You. That person, You've called them home. Lord, I'm still here. There's got to be a purpose that You've got for me to complete in my life. And I want to complete it until He says, okay, the work is finished. It's time to come home. Determine anew today in your life. God, I don't want anything holding me back. I want to walk in total freedom. I want to walk in victory. I'm not going to settle for less. You promised us big and great things that we could have. All we have to do is declare it so in our lives. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the understanding. He wants you to ask Him. He's ready. And if He says no, I take it because He's still God, Brother John. He'll show you a better way. No, you don't need to do it that way. I'm not going to let that door open for you. There's a better way. Sister North, there's a better way. If He closes that door, guess what? There's a other door. That's the better one. You got three doors. Which one you going to choose? Well, I take number, well, it doesn't open. It's this one over here. It's the best one for you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for what You've done today in the lives of Your people. Lord, I ask God that You just, as we leave this house today, that You continue to speak to our hearts. Help us to deal with issues that maybe that come up in our minds that maybe we haven't thought of. You bring it to our memories because we want it dealt with. As we lay our heads on our pillow tonight, Lord Jesus, we do not have the promise of tomorrow. So, Lord, I just thank You. I thank You for today. I thank You that You have called us for this hour to fulfill Your purposes in the earth. You've put us here in the community, in this city, to do Your will. So, Lord, I thank You now. And, Lord, I just call the harvest in from the north, south, east, and west that You've got for this place. Those that You've got destined for this house that we are to mentor and we are to disciple. I thank You for those souls, God, and for the souls into the kingdom. Lord, I speak blessings over Your people. I speak protection and supernatural provision to come this week. This week, God, thank You for special supernatural provision, protection, direction. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Be sure you greet one another as you go today. We'll see you.